I'm Weather Channel meteorologist Reynolds Wolf, and you are listening to Almost Credible Discussion of the 2015 College Football Playoff-bound Auburn Tigers with the AU Wishbone.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
War Eagle.
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we are just one episode away. You may remember back when we did our barbecue SEC preview, I said, this is the one they'll remember us for. Well, I'm afraid after next week's show, that might be the one they remember us for, because it's going to be epic. Tonight's show, of course, will be epic in its own way, but I was talking to my wife earlier, and I said, I don't think people that just listen to the finished product are fully going to appreciate how much work went into doing this match game episode. I mean, it is staggering how much work is going into this thing. All I can hope is that we produce about an hour's worth of fine Auburn and SEC-themed entertainment when the game's done.
I look forward to listening to the finished product.
All right, so I've actually got five of the seven celebrities have sent in their audio files for me now. I've got your mystery opponent lined up and good to go next Monday, and everything is squared away. I've got the music. I've been putting together the sound clips that are going to go into it. I've still got to put all those onto the soundboard, but it should be awesome. Are you looking forward to it at all?
I am looking forward to it. I need to go back and watch some. I've watched a couple of match game reruns on YouTube. I need to go back and find some more so I'm familiar with the kind of things I should expect.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I've been having a good time. Actually, Mira gets into the strangest things, I guess because of me. But Mira's like, play another match game. And so I've been really hitting the match game 75s. But it ran from like 73 to 79, but I've been right there in 75. That was their golden age when they had Richard Dawson and Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers on there all the time. So those are really fun. If the folks out there listening don't know, got to check out on YouTube. They got all of them, so it's great, with Gene Rayburn and the whole crowd. So, all right. Only one announcement on my end. I want to just remind folks one more time that August 1st, coming up really soon, is the big event at the Hoover Library, the Science Fiction Fantasy Festival, the Hoover Library in Birmingham, down there close to what we're going to be talking about tonight, in part SEC Media Days, have that right down there in Hoover. And I found out today that several other people are going to be there too, including Lou Anders. And Lou Anders is a Hugo Award-winning former editor of Pyre Books. He's got another award for his art direction on some projects. So he's a pretty big name, and I think he lives in Birmingham. So he's going to be there. Bobby Nash is going to be there. Of course, I'm coming down for it. So I just think that's going to be a real good time, and it's free, right? It doesn't cost anything. So you get to see, the people of Birmingham and whoever else comes will get to have the same experience that people pay up to $100, for a weekend to see. You get to do it for free. So why would you not come over and check it out? So hopefully we'll have a good crowd and we'll have some fun. So, what are you thinking as we move toward the end of July here, John?
We're in that long dead period in the middle of the summer. We've been through SEC Media Days, and now it's just a long wait until football actually starts again. Where, people are watching reruns of games on the SEC Network and
yes,
YouTube and stuff, but it's not the same.
We're at the point with the launch of the rocket right now where the astronauts are in the capsule, the rocket is fueled, the gantries are sliding away, but it hasn't lifted off yet,
You're optimistic if you think we're that close.
We're just waiting for the countdown, man. Countdown's on hold here. We need to pick up the countdown. But Yeah, I've been watching their count. Speaking of countdowns, yeah, I've been watching their countdown on ESPN of the, I guess, what, their 20 best games of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the South Carolina, Georgia, which I actually saw originally. I've seen several I didn't see before. I enjoyed LSU, Florida. Oh, and I was trying to figure out, how did I not see Arkansas, Mississippi State? And I realized it's because Arkansas, Mississippi State was on at the same time as Auburn, Ole Miss on a different channel.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really enjoyed that one. I couldn't even remember who won, honestly. It was great. So I was watching Arkansas, Mississippi State. I had no idea who won. And I was like, come on, Arkansas, go. Oh, you idiots. You know, so that was a lot of fun. So I'm curious to see. And this is like number 12, 13, 12, 11, somewhere in there. So they hadn't even gotten the top 10 yet, as far as I know, on there. What do you think their top two or three games are going to be?
Can they use the playoff games? I mean,
I don't know. That's a good question.
If it's just regular season games, I mean, Michigan State,
aren't they doing
Oregon?
I'm talking about just the SEC network.
Oh, okay. Alabama, Arkansas will be one.
I guess Auburn, Ole Miss, and Auburn, South Carolina should be up there pretty high.
Yeah, Auburn, Ole Miss may be, you know, and then Alabama, Ole Miss.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And then Texas A&M, Arkansas was a great game. I don't know if they played that one. Yeah, that was a great ending there.
Oh, you know, another one I watched the other day was Florida, Georgia again. I just can't get enough of that. I just cannot get enough of Florida, Georgia.
I don't think the Georgia fans can either.
Oh, man. That game, that game just defied all reality. That game opened up a rift in the time-space continuum and actually pulled whole planets in. It just was bizarre.
It kept Georgia out of Atlanta, so it's okay with me.
It did. It's not the first time. It's not the first time that Georgia got derailed by the Gators on the way to Atlanta.
No. Yeah, but one of the first times it happened to a losing team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about 2002. That Georgia team could have won the national championship, but they just went out and laid an egg against Florida. It's the only game they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, so what kind of stuff's going on in the news now for us to talk about a little bit?
Well, there was some news out of SEC Media Day. It's not a ton. One of the interesting things I thought that came out of it was the discussion of Will Muschamp's contract. Brandon Marcello had an interesting article about that, about the details. And mm-hmm. It basically works out where he doesn't have a buyout after this year. So he's under contract for, you know, 3 years. But if he wants to leave after this season, his choice, he can do so without penalty.
Well, I mean, seriously, they could put like a $2 million buyout and we'll be like, okay, I'll take part of this year's money from Florida and I'll buy out. I mean, it's not like he's not rolling in cash. I mean, how does he, you know, that's like giving an NFL player a $10,000 fine. They're like, oh, let me pull the change out of my shoe and pay that, you know. Mm-hmm. He's doing quite well.
Well, but it's also like at the time we hired him, you know, he had a lot of leverage.
Yeah.
There were a ton of schools that wanted him if he was just going to be the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And Auburn was lucky to get him. You know, he could have gone to been an NFL defensive coordinator. So he had all the leverage. So he was able to say, hey, I'm coming and this is, you know, the kind of deal I want. And I don't want a huge buyout in case I have an opportunity to get back into head coaching. So,
and there was even talk that some smaller schools were interested in him as a head coach.
That's right.
But you got to think he was intrigued, though, by Gus's pitch. Was that basically, I've got an awesome offense. The defense has been the only problem. You come in and fix that, and we're going to do amazing things. And, well, I mean, that's absolutely true.
And, you know, at a place you're comfortable with, close to your family's comfortable here, you know, that part would work out, sure.
Well, Will's one of the better – he's the best defensive coordinator in football, and not just in college, but in all of football, and we're going to bring him in, and it's a real blessing to us.
That's pretty impressive. We don't even need Gus audio clips anymore. Just give you the text.
I'm working on it. It's you have not to, bad. If I could just eat at Waffle House a couple of times, I think I could nail it. Mm-hmm. Just get a little of the syrup, you know, the syrup and the gravy in there, and the.
There's no Waffle Houses in Southern Illinois.
Oh, there's probably some around here, but we have other things. It's all good. There's probably a couple around here. I just haven't gone looking, but yeah, but you know, so SEC Media Days. I really want to talk about that for a little bit. What?
Sure.
Is it? You know how I've always described it.
Yes.
Is it anything any longer other than Dragon Con for Bama fans? Or is it just Dragon Con for Bama fans?
It seems like it's that, plus it's like a big end of summer reunion for all the media that covers college football. And they all get together and enjoy hanging out together and, you know, tweeting Spurrier's one-liners and that kind of thing. But I'm not sure how much other really useful information comes out of it. There's always one or two mini controversy kind of things that people try to stir crap up. And
it turns the WWE at some point. At least one coach every year turns it into WWE.
Because they want attention, they want, you know, to stand out, and they want to take us. There's something that they want. There's some, you know, and Saban always has these things. He wants the media to carry the water on him for, you know, to get the work done. So he puts these things out there and lets them run with it. And this year, his example was the NFL releasing the information about draft grades to junior players right before the playoff games.
Which backfired on him, which was hilarious.
Yeah, because everybody took it as whining. And I get it. It is whining, but it also is probably a legitimate thing to say. I mean, the NFL can certainly wait until all the playoff games are finished and then tell the kids to give them 2 weeks to decide. It's not too much to ask. Yeah. They'll be okay. So, I get it. But at the same time, it did sound like a gigantic amount of whining.
Well, you know, the thing that's always funny to me about it is – that about half the reporting is reporting the coach speak and the wacky one-liners, and the other half of the reporting that comes out of it is people talking about being there. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, here's all the crazy Bama fans. Oh, look, I'm in Hoover, Alabama. How crazy is this? You know, oh, it's SEC Media Days. How wacky is all this? You know, it's like half of the stories that come out of it are substantive, even though usually somewhat predictable. And the other half are meta. You know, they're stories about being there doing the stories.
Yes.
It's so weird like that. And also it's so predictable in that you know that Spurrier's going to come in and do his little thing and everybody's going to swoon. Mm-hmm. Yep, can't spell citrus without UT. Yep, write that down. And then, you know, Les Miles is going to come in and talk about kissing somebody on the mouth or something. And Bert's going to come in and wear wacky shoes and say something funny and outrageous, and everybody's going to go crazy. Oh, why has he changed so much since he was at Wisconsin? He didn't do crazy stuff like this at Wisconsin. What's happened to Bert, you know? And then it's just every one of them. I mean, Gus is going to come in and say, you know, well, we're excited about this season. And, you know, it's just going to be the same. It's the same thing every year, really. And like you say, Saban's going to come in with some complaint, whine about something.
To me, the more interesting part is the players. I mean, this is the first time we've really gotten to hear from Jeremy Johnson in a more serious discussion, a lengthy discussion. So I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed listening to what he said.
Oh, I got to tell you, John, the three players that Gus brought this year, they were awesome. They all were just so fun to listen to. They came across so prepared, so intelligent, you know. Jeremy, of course, is just very charismatic. Even if he's kind of soft-spoken, he's still he's got the it factor. I thought that was it Jonathan Jones?
Jonathan Jones and Chris Frost.
And Chris Frost. Oh, and they were awesome. They were fantastic.
I thought they were excellent.
Yeah.
I thought all three of them were very, very good representatives of the
NFL. Chris Frost sounds like he's been in the NFL for 10 years when you hear him talking. You know, he's just very in command of everything. Because, you know, we get so many players, and bless their heart, they're just young kids. You know, they haven't really had any opportunity in their lives probably to do any public speaking. They're just totally intimidated. But
And because the universities don't let them.
Right.
In the old days, the players could speak to the media.
Right.
After practice or after games or whatever. But now universities rule this kind of thing with a tight fist, and they don't allow the players to speak to the media.
Yeah, whereas these guys all, I mean, like I say, Jeremy's kind of soft spoken. He's a little more restrained, but overall, they just sounded like they really were very comfortable there. They were very proud to be representing Auburn, and they did a really good job, I thought. So that was pretty cool. And then Gus goes off to St. Andrews. You see that?
I did.
That was funny.
And then the media picked Auburn to win the SEC, but not to win the West.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they've heard about the big, you know, investigation on the scandal at Alabama, that Alabama's going to be on probation and can't go to the championship game. Because this has happened before, 1993.
It's true.
Auburn didn't get to go, and Alabama got to backdoor into it. So
I don't think that's what they had in mind.
No, I think they're just dumb.
I think they just had a flawed voting process.
Well, as somebody said, there was like an Alabama blog that was there that got credentials, because they give credentials to anybody. I mean, you and I could get credentials to this. You know, you remember a while back, Reynolds was talking about how we should get credentials to be on the sideline at an Auburn game. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but I have no doubt that you and I could get credentials for SEC Media Days. We could just walk right in there, and we could set up a table on Radio Row and be recording this right there in the Winfrey. I have no doubt about it. And I think that the Alabama blog people all voted us like 14, and that's why we ended up not winning the West.
Well, I thought the voting was very interesting, because The one of the things that stood out to me was, obviously, everybody thinks Auburn and Alabama are the two best teams in the West.
In the whole conference.
Well, in the two best teams in the whole conference. But who is the interesting part to me is the rest of the West 3-7.
Okay.
Like, who – those four teams, you know
– Five.
Five teams, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 –
The conference expanded a couple of years ago, John. I don't know.
I got that message.
Okay, good. Okay, make sure.
It's late my time. I'm doing math, doing the math with my fingers here. So
it is later for you. You're an hour later. You're over there in the Eastern Bloc Communist time. I know. So,
but to me, the interesting thing about all the predictions about the SEC is the Western Conference predictions, like 3-7. Like, if you think Auburn and Alabama were the best, it, like the media picked LSU as the third best team.
Yeah.
And most predictions I've seen, and to me, I wouldn't pick LSU ahead of, you know, Arkansas or Ole Miss or Texas A&M probably.
That's what I want. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I almost forgot. I'm glad you said that. And we're going to talk about LSU a little bit in a minute. But one of the things I thought was most interesting that I've heard the last few days is that I think there's no team in the SEC on either side. There's no team that is more all over the board than LSU. I've seen LSU pick to win the West, and I've seen LSU pick to finish sixth in the West, and everything in between. I can't think of any other team out of the other 13 that has been that scattershot in the predictions. And I think it's because – and you tell me what you think. I think it's because people know that they can play defense – and they've got really top shelf talent, and they think, well, either they'll overcome the quarterback situation or they won't. And that gets quite a range of finishes depending on how you view that.
Well, and it also goes back to people think LSU is going to kind of get back to where they were a couple of years ago when their defense was great. And even if the quarterback isn't great, if he's just good and doesn't hurt them, then they'll be fine because Fournette's so good and the offensive line's going to be solid. So but the other part is, I think it's, you know, the West is so good and so tough from top to bottom that anybody in that 3-7 range, you know, it's everybody's just kind of throwing darts at some point. I mean, you really got to sit down and look at who they got coming back and who's what the schedule is and who has the easiest East opponents and all that kind of stuff before you start really saying this team should be ranked ahead of these other teams. But I would not have picked LSU third. I was shocked by that.
Well, what you just said is why I've been laying off of Georgia in the East. I've been saying all along that somebody other than Georgia is going to win the East just because they have to play Alabama and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri doesn't play Alabama or Auburn, I don't believe.
Missouri has the easiest of the Eastern changeover.
Yeah. So I mean, Missouri can be down from last year even. I mean, that's the funny thing is that if you looked at it in a purely, you know, the Georgia Missouri game last year and saw what happened in that game, you would bet the house that Georgia won the SEC East last year, wouldn't you? Because, I mean, Georgia went into Missouri and just steamrolled them. And yet Missouri is the one that went to Atlanta. And I just think people don't look at the schedule. When they look at the teams. They know the team top to bottom. They evaluate the team. But they do it in a vacuum. They don't think about the context of who will you actually be playing.
Well, and then Tennessee's Western teams are Alabama and Arkansas.
Right. So, I mean, honestly, all things considered, even though I know that Missouri's not going to be as good this year, I mean, I'm really struggling right now with not making Missouri my pick to do 3 in a row. Now, I know that I can't make an official, you know, proclamation on that until there's barbecue in front of me. when we get to the East, the far less important SEC East show coming up in, gosh, that's not long, is it?
No.
We're going to be having to drag the barbecue out pretty soon. Well, you know what I may do this year, John?
What?
I may use my own barbecue that I smoked my own self in my own yard.
Really?
I'm thinking about going with the home smoked because it's really good.
I like smoking my own barbecue.
So. I have a nice smoker, and I am not afraid to use it. I love to say when my teenage daughter is out here and it's a nice day, I say, you know, I think I'm going to go out smoke. She just her eyes get about as big as plates and like, you know, the barbecue pork. So, yeah, I may have to do that. Do you think if I use my own barbecue pork that I made, that I smoked, would it produce more accurate results or less accurate results in our prognostication than if I use store-bought, restaurant-bought?
It may be more accurate.
I'll try it. I'm going to do it. I got a bunch of it in the freezer, so
all right.
I'll do it. What else do we think about SEC Media Days and the coaches and, I've got one question for you along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Are we starting to like Burt?
Cause
we hated him at the beginning. We had reason to hate him, but here's what I'm seeing happening, John. The SEC coaches other than ours, whom we generally love, with certain recent exceptions at times, Chizik, the SEC coaches, we tend to kind of go on an upward path with them or a downward path, right? Mm-hmm. I liked Mark Richt for a couple of years. Now I despise the man, right? It's well documented on here. Everybody knows I despise the man. Les Miles, I couldn't stand the first couple of years. Now I love him. Love him, love him, love him. He's awesome.
He's a lunatic.
Oh, he's a blessed lunatic, as they say. And so where are we now in that continuum with Burt?
I don't like him, but I guess I don't hate him like I did 2 years ago.
He's growing on me. He is growing on me.
He is. It's fair. Because he's kind of this big, larger-than-life character, and he – but I also respect that he knows what he wants to do and he wants to play a different style of football, an old school kind of run the football style. And he's going to do it his way. And I get that. I enjoyed watching them play last year. So, but it's also – some of it is just a comparison to the rest of the coaches in the West. You know, I mean, you certainly like him better than Mullen or Saban.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So – you know, I think he is kind of this big goofy guy, and he says this weird stuff or whatever. So in some ways, he's colorful.
He's
not bland.
He's like a strange cross between Philip Fulmer and Steve Spurrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not quite sure what to take from that yet. But yeah, I don't have the butthead sound effect on here, and I'm kind of glad because I'm not going to use that anymore. I'm going to wait and see where he's going to go with this. So, but yeah, he's turned into a big cartoon character, and I find him amusing, and I don't hate him anymore. So we'll see what happens after this. One other question about the SEC, and then we'll get into our previews here. I was asking this question on Twitter, and several people were talking with me about it on there. I don't know if you saw the last couple of days. If you were to add, and we've kind of touched on this before, but it kind of came up again. I want to get your definitive thoughts on it now. If you were to add two more teams to the SEC, and honestly, I'd rather take two teams away than add two more, because I feel like every time – it's this thing called math. But every time you add more teams, you make it a little harder for your team to get to the championship, you know?
Well, and that's two – you know, it's longer before you get to play the teams in the East that you want.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, if they add 15 and 16 before I ever get to see Auburn playing at Missouri, I'm going to pitch a fit, because then it's going to be another, you know, 8 years or something ridiculous. That's a good point. But let's say they did add two more. You know, okay. In fact, what I told somebody on Twitter today was, I said, if you add too many more teams to the SEC, it stops being the SEC and becomes the NCAA. Do we really want to be, you know, in other words, you have to win the national championship basically to win your conference. If you add Oklahoma State, you know, Texas, and guy, who else, you know, North Dakota State or something. I mean, at some point it stops being one conference and becomes almost everybody. I just think, you know, that's just ridiculous. But so would you rather add two tough teams or two kind of pushovers, which if you had to add two more?
Oh, I'm always in favor of adding good teams. I mean, I'm not afraid of adding, you know, I don't want to add, like, you know, Memphis and, you know, North Carolina State or something. I mean, I want to add two good teams.
Well, you can say what you want about me. I don't care. I want pushovers. I want patsies.
You want two more Vanderbilts?
Oh yeah, I'd love it. Well, no, Vanderbilt's got a winning record against us. Are you crazy? I don't want another Vanderbilt. I want, like, you know, Louisiana Monroe and
Pacific
South. Well, not South Florida. They beat us last time we played them, didn't they?
Pacific.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let's expand out to the West Coast.
Wait. Southern Miss.
Yeah. Absolutely. With Ellis back in charge. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Southern Miss should so be in the SEC. Absolutely. I think Southern Miss is a no-brainer to be number 15. Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, Central Florida, South Florida, one of those would be good. But
I get to see, like, Central Florida is an obvious expansion target for anybody, just because of the where it's located and the facilities and the size of the school and stuff. Well,
it's huge.
It's a huge school. I think it's in Tampa, right?
No, it's that Central Florida's in Orlando.
In Orlando, right? I'm thinking of the who's in Tampa?
South Florida's in Tampa.
So
yeah,
it's a big school. It's in Orlando. They got, you know, good facilities. They've been to a couple of big bowl games recently.
Yeah. It's got, like, what, 40,000 enrollment or something crazy. I mean, it's huge.
So I mean, to me, if you said we got to add two schools, you know, I'd say add them and add steal somebody from the ACC, like Virginia Tech.
You better
something.
Not say it. Don't
no,
say
no, no, I'm not saying them.
No, not them. I would blackball and veto any attempts to bring them into the SEC from the ACC. I'm sure everybody knows who we're talking about. We don't need to say
they do.
They might as well be in the SEC anyway, right? At least as far as we're concerned. So, yeah, they know. All right, you want to get into the opponent previews? I don't have any music or sound effects for this, but it does mean that we're getting close to the season, so I guess this would work. Okay, so there's your ode to joy that we're getting to actually talk about games, right? Opponents.
Real games.
Holy cow!
So, first up, Dragon Con weekend, Atlanta, Georgia, the Georgia Dome. I've got my ticket, section 301, row 2. Uh-oh, now they know where to find me.
The Louisville Cardinal, coached by Bobby Petrino.
I've heard of him.
We have a little history of Mr. Petrino.
We do. Going to be interesting.
Defensive coordinator Todd Grantham.
Yes, former Georgia defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. We have a little history with him.
Yes.
And they have two Georgia transfers in their secondary, Josh Harvey-Clemens and Shaq Wiggins, both of whom have played against Auburn before.
That's right. So this is interesting. This is a little bit of a reunion of sorts of coaches and players. So and as you have pointed out before, they, despite Petrino, they really are known right now for their defense because of what Charlie Strong was able to put together there before he left for Texas.
Right. I mean, Charlie Strong, you know, they haven't been great at Texas so far, but he did an amazing job developing, recruiting, and developing players at Louisville. That's the thing that he did that separated them from everybody, because they didn't have top 10 recruiting classes. But the last 2 years, I think last year specifically, and then the year before also, I think Louisville is second in the country in NFL players produced.
Holy cow.
Yes, Louisville. Okay. Yeah, and so amazing. That's, you know, a lot of those were guys that Strong recruited and developed, and you can give Petrino and them some credit for, you know, kind of polishing guys and getting them better and stuff. But there's still a lot of talent on that team. But it's interesting now as they move further away from Strong, will that work ethic that got them to that point,
right,
will it change? And will they get away from kind of the hard-nosed stuff that enabled them to develop the way they did? And they lost.
Well, I'm just going to say because remember – Petrino hasn't exactly been known for having strong defenses the places he's gone after, you know, after a while. So Arkansas never really had a great defense while he was there.
No.
Oh. And did you notice they got a recruit from us? But the consensus seems to be that Alabama and Auburn both didn't want him. The quarterback?
You're talking about Pass.
Yeah, Juwan Pass.
I think Auburn wasn't sure they were going to take a second quarterback in this class, and so he was at time to make a decision. I think he did what he needed to do, and that's fine. He's the guy that's going to sign in February, so he won't be in this game. But
well, right. I'm just saying, it was just, you know, speaking of Auburn and Louisville, that guy, he came down to Louisville, Auburn, and Alabama, and ended up taking Louisville. But people seem to be saying, both Auburn and Alabama people, and take it with a grain of salt, seem to be saying that that in the last couple of weeks, both Auburn and Alabama had different quarterbacks sign and were just like, you know, nah, you know, we're not really after you anymore. Because we got Woody and Alabama got some other guy. But anyway, so did you see that Louisville, a Louisville defensive player, James Burgess, just said that he is confident he has found tendencies in our offense?
I saw that. That's listen, buddy. You have fun with that, okay? Every player always says that.
Yeah, Florida State said that a lot, right?
Well, again, I'll say the same thing to him. I said to the Florida State people, we only ran like five plays the second half of 2013. If you can't see the tendencies in the offense, you aren't looking very hard.
John, I've found tendencies in our offense too, and you know what those tendencies are?
What?
To score.
Roll up and down the field and score
You know, Coach Petrino, I've been studying film, like you said, and I found some tendencies in Auburn's offense. Yeah, what are they? They score. They're good. That's the tendency I'm finding, is their tendency to get the ball down the field and perhaps into the end zone. That's the tendency I'm finding. In an unrelated story, I found tendencies in Bobby Petrino's personal behavior. Would you like to hear about it?
He makes bad decisions.
So what do we think about playing Louisville in general? I'm sorry, I got us on track. There were just a lot of little factoids. Sure. I kind of wanted to get in there and get you bounce off of you. But now let's go ahead and talk about the teams a little bit. How do you see it matching up?
I think this Louisville team is there. In general, last year they were good against mediocre teams to good teams, but against the really good teams they played last year, you know, the Georgias and Florida States and stuff, they got crushed. And so I think their offense is going to be a real problem. And, you know, Petrino traditionally has an excellent offense, but they're replacing, you know, their best receiver. Their one player in offense that really scared me was a guy named Devontae Parker, and he's gone to the NFL. They're replacing four offensive linemen. And so I think that's going to be a real problem for them against our pass rush. I think their offense will be okay, but I think they're going to have a hard time sustaining drives against our defense. On the other side, you know, their secondary is replacing a lot of the guys they lost with a couple of those Georgia transfers we talked about. They also have a transfer that actually – another guy that scares me the most is a guy that transferred from TCU named Devontae Fields, who was the best defensive player in the Big 12 in 2012. So he's a guy who's clearly an NFL kind of talent, like linebacker, defensive end kind of guy. And he's eligible this year at Louisville. He's going to play. So they got, besides him, they got a couple of really big guys up front, a couple of 300-pound guys that could play. So it's going to be interesting. They got some size. They got some big beef in the middle. Yeah, they've lost some impact players there, some guys that made a lot of plays, but they got a lot of size and strength up there. And when you add Fields, you add those guys from Georgia, they're going to be athletic, and Grantham's a good coordinator. So I think the defense is going to be solid. Mm-hmm. It'll be a good test for Auburn. I don't think they're going to stop us, but I think it'll be a good test. And I think, you know, the offense may not, you know, completely explode. But the other side I would say is that in the games they played last year against really good teams, you know, they gave up huge chunks of yards and huge points. So it may just be a thing where they're good, you know, they're good, but they can't, you know, can't carry it out against the really good teams. They can't keep it going.
Well, certain things that jump out to me, they did finish last year overall with a rank of sixth in total defense. It's kind of hard to imagine a Bobby Petrino, Todd Grantham team finishing sixth in total defense, but like we were saying, there's reasons for that. Particularly good against the run. Mm-hmm. That's a little worrisome for us. They lost at Virginia, which was interesting. And they also lost to Clemson and Florida State. And they lost to Georgia 14-37 in the Belt Bowl. But that Florida State game, I watched every bit of that game. Do you remember that game?
Oh, I did. I was cheering so hard for Louisville.
Oh, that was one of the many games last year that we were rooting against Florida State and thought we had it in the bag and end up, you know, blowing it at the end. There were several times last year that Florida State trailed in the fourth quarter and then somehow managed to pull it out, and that was a big one. Because Louisville was really kind of holding them down for most of that game, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go back and watch that one again because it was 42-31, and I can't remember how they ended up winning by 11 when Louisville was, I think, leading in the fourth quarter, it seems like. So there must have been some crazy things happening at the end. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, everything I've been reading is that their offensive line could be a little shaky, so they've got good – they've got a – I guess a second-year quarterback. They got some good running backs and receivers.
The second-year quarterback you're talking about may not even start. They have kind of a large group of quarterbacks who will be competing for the job.
Right.
Gardner's the guy you're talking about, but they got the two or three other guys that are coming in there that are going to compete with him. And I don't think it's a done deal that Gardner's going to start. He's had a lot of health problems, you know, staying healthy during the season. So, and he's not – you know, the guy, he's no Teddy Bridgewater. So,
well, I may have been looking at Reggie Bonifon.
Yeah.
That must be the other guy. So he's a sophomore. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel confident about that game? I mean, it's going to be in sort of a neutral site, but clearly we'll have them outnumbered. You got to think, right?
No, I think, again, if you play Auburn, you have to be able to score, you know, 40 points or whatever, because our offense is – their defense is fine, but nobody's going to keep us, you know, down completely offensively. We're not going to have any games where we, you know, score 10 or 14 points, whatever. So – and their defense is good, but it's not – you know, I mean, against the teams they played last year, against the good teams they played last year, they gave up like 49 points and 7 yards of play to Georgia and Florida State. So I think our offense is going to end up, you know, coming out with 30, 35 points, and I'm not sure they can score that many on us. Their quarterback is unproven. You know, they got some good, talented receivers, some dangerous guys, and a couple of solid running backs. But, a bunch of new, fresh offensive linemen against our defense and giving Muschamp time to prepare, I think our defensive line is going to cause problems for them, and that's going to, you know, get the quarterback off – out of sync, and I think that's going to be it. So
I'm going to go ahead and I'll tell you how I feel like this game come out. I'm kind of imagining a lower scoring game than people might expect, because I think both defenses are going to be ahead. The defensive fronts are going to be ahead of the offenses the first part of the season, and so I think there will be some points scored, but I think it won't be as many as people think. And I look at this game as a game that I think that they're a team that I think that they're a team that we should be able to beat, but I also think they're a team that could be very dangerous and could beat us if we're not prepared or if we mess around.
It's true.
So I think we need to be focused and take care of business. But I don't have any reason to think we won't. So I'm not trying to make – I'm not the prediction game tonight, but just in terms of what I see in Louisville, I think they're a dangerous team that we should be better than, but not – so, you know, they're not Louisiana Monroe or some directional school that we should just roll our helmets out there and win.
No, they absolutely could beat us if we go out there and play like crap. So we go, especially if we go out there and turn the ball over and give up. We do the same kind of things we did on defense last year and give up big plays, you know, by blowing coverages, missing assignments, missing tackles, and that gets some dumb penalties, that kind of thing. And or we give up big plays in the special teams. So,
yeah. All right. You want to move to Jacksonville State?
Sure.
I had to go to two different magazines to find anything on Jacksonville State. I didn't realize they're in Alabama, right? Last I checked, my whole life they've been in Alabama. They didn't move the school, right?
No.
They are in the Ohio Valley Conference?
I didn't know that.
They are in the Ohio Valley Conference. They are in a conference that also includes Eastern Kentucky, Murray State, Austin Peay, and Southeast Missouri, among others, and Eastern Illinois, which is not that far from me. So how strange of a conference is that? You wouldn't think a school that's that small would be driving all over half of North America to play their opponents, you know.
That is weird.
It is weird. But here's the thing about Jacksonville State that I'm sure some people back listening to us in Alabama are well aware of, but other people may not be aware of. They're actually pretty good. Okay, I'm not saying Appalachian State versus Michigan here. I'm just saying don't think of this as a total pushover. I mean, we should win, but just let's have some healthy respect for this little team. I mean, they've got a former Alabama guy and a former Auburn guy, I believe. Yeah, they've got Devontae Sigler, and they've got LaMichael Fanning. Fanning was from Alabama's 2011 recruiting class, and Sigler transferred from Auburn. He's the reigning defensive player of the year in the Ohio Valley Conference, for whatever that's worth. They finished 10-2 and undefeated in their conference last year, such as it was. Again, I mean, you know, we can laugh and say, well, yeah, but who they play? But honestly, little teams that know what they're doing can sometimes be more dangerous than big teams that are tripping over themselves.
That's the truth.
And so, you know, we should win, but this isn't a high school. So they've got some players. They've got some actually decent players, and they only lost two games last year. So, and one of them was in the playoffs. So, I think so. That's not too bad. So, that's what I've got on Jacksonville State, and frankly, that's more than I thought I would have on Jacksonville State.
It's impressive. That's more than I got on Jacksonville State.
Well, I have to thank the Sporting News for that. You have anything you want to add, or you want to move on to the third team, the LUS Bayou Bengals?
Let's move on to LSU.
Guaranteed. The Cajuns. This, like we said a while ago, this is a team coming into the game, coming into the season, that there's wide disagreement over. Did you agree with my assessment that it really all comes back to how people think the quarterback's going to develop?
Yes.
Well, I mean, people are acting like they don't have talent at quarterback. The dude that's their sophomore quarterback this year was somebody Gus desperately wanted. He's a 4 or 5 star player, isn't he?
Brandon Harris?
Yeah.
He is. He's a highly recruited guy. But, I mean, the other part of this is the other guy was better. Jennings was better. But then Jennings went and got arrested this offseason.
Yeah.
So
oh, boy.
That you know. I don't know whether that's going to actually stop him or not, but I mean, Harris was, you know, not spectacular last year. Neither one of them was. I mean, both of them had, you know, kind of poor completion percentages, and you know, as a team, they had 17 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. So, and only completed 50% of their passes. So
In fact, Jennings, the older one. He started every game except Auburn. You'll remember that they threw the Brandon Harris out there against us and we killed him. Jennings ended up with a 48.9 completion percentage.
Mm.
That's not good. That's actually 14th in the SEC among the teams. what's funny is that Brandon Harris actually had like the highest passing efficiency in the SEC, but he only played like one game. So, and he didn't do any good in that. It must have just been in mop up duty around the season, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Here's the thing with LSU is overall is the SEC has changed since that, you know, the year of the 9-6 Alabama Classic game or whatever.
Yeah,
and you got to be able to score points now. You're in the same division with Auburn and Texas A&M and Alabama. You got to be able to score 30 points pretty regularly. And can they do it? You know, with an offense that's really organized around just running Fournette a bunch of times, and I'm not sure they can. You know, a couple years ago they had great receivers and they had Mettenberger, who was, you know, a real NFL prospect at quarterback, and maybe these guys can develop and it'll be completely different. But I'm, you know, we're playing them in the daytime in Baton Rouge, and again their defense is going to be solid. But, you know, I'm not – it's not so great that I'm, you know, completely worried about it. Mm-hmm.
They didn't stop us from ringing up 41 on them last year, just for what it's worth.
That's right. So, I mean, I think they got talent on the defensive line. The other part is they lost a coordinator. I mean
– they took a big step down there. That's right.
I mean, they went – Kevin Steele's the new defensive coordinator, and he's good, but he doesn't keep – you know, he's not somebody that you're – stressing about. So I think that's going to make it that could be a real concern for them when you're matching up against really high quality offensive coaches on our side. So,
you know, that when Burt was asked about taking a knee against Texas in the bowl game, did you hear what he described it as?
I did.
Yeah. I think that that's what Les Miles feels about every off tackle run play.
Sure.
I mean, Les's dream game is playing shutdown defense. And then every offensive play is just pitching it to the tailback who slams into the line for about 4 yards. I mean, that's just an absolute dream game for Les. And that's, like you say, that just isn't going to cut it anymore.
Maybe it is. I mean, maybe the, you know, their secondary is going to be great. Maybe the defense really shuts people down. And Fournette has a season, you know, kind of a Heisman kind of season. And people can't stop him. But I'm a little skeptical. I think you're going to have to be able to throw the ball to beat the, you know, teams in the West, and I think teams can line up and stop the run at some point. And you know, it may not be enough. We'll see. But I'm skeptical.
Here's LSU's win totals the last 4 years: 13, 10, 10, 8. I detect a trend.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good trend.
Moving in a certain direction.
They are moving in a certain direction, yeah. And haven't won the conference since 2011. And then even that year, they went and lost, you know, to Alabama in the championship game. So the BCS championship game. So, are they the team? I know they brought in Steele as a defensive coordinator. Are they the ones that got old football as their defensive line coach?
Oh, yes, he is there. I'd forgotten that. He's a good coach. Yeah. You're talking about the former Ole Miss and
USC coach.
Interim coach. The Cajun guy.
I can't think of his name to save my life. I'm not football. Dude that drinks, drinks 15 Red Bulls like an hour.
See, when you say him and you talk about him and you do that accent, all I can think of is there's this that great song, Colonel Reb is Crying.
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah. Well, because he was the Ole Miss coach then, wasn't he?
He was.
That was it. So, Colonel Reb is Crying. Football. I need to get that on my soundboard. That's my next thing to have to get. That's my next thing to have to get, so... all right. Any other thoughts about LSU? You think they're just going to line up, play defense, and try to end Leonard Fournette's career early?
Well, I think part of it is they're going to try to play keep away. They're going to try to play ball control and keep the ball away from our offense. That's a lot of their game plan. And I think, I mean, that's a team that defensively has enough, you know, talent, you know, that they can make a lot of plays against our offense. But you know, we're still going to score points, and I'm not sure they can score enough. It's just like when we went down there last time, mm-hmm. we played well enough to win. We made too many mistakes at the beginning of the game. And, you know, we got to go on the road and not, you know, this would be, you know, the first game is a neutral site game. This is Jeremy's first real road SEC game. Mm-hmm. We got to go in there and not make a bunch of mistakes.
It's not fair they can control the weather, though, make it pour down rain. We have the ball like that. That just wasn't right. I mean, that's what it seemed like. I mean, you know, it's bad enough having to go to Baton Rouge and play at night. You throw in a downpour, a freaking deluge. I mean, that just, my gosh, what are we supposed to do? So, all right. Well, we got any listener questions? Wait, what?
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Woo. All right. What we got?
First question comes from Emily Rios,
Yay. Who
says, tougher game this season, A&M or Arkansas?
You know, the trendy pick is to say Arkansas. I'm going to make this short and sweet. I'm more worried about A&M because we have to go to A&M. I know we have to go to Arkansas too, don't we? But we have to go to A&M, and we've got to go up against John Chavis now. We've got to go up against a pretty high-powered offense. Everything Will Muschamp can do, that's the game. I mean, that's one of the first games where he's really going to be tested. You know, can he cover all those passing routes, cover all those receivers? So, honestly, for everything you can say about Arkansas, I think A&M is harder to prepare for. I don't like having to go there to play him, even though we're undefeated there and we haven't beaten them at home. Strangely enough, it's turning into the Auburn-Georgia series. Mm-hmm. I'm honestly more worried about A&M. What do you think?
I agree. Arkansas may be a better team, but I think you're right. Playing them on the road is a huge difference there. And A&M, you know, with Chavis, the defensive coordinator, I think, you know, they could be much better on that side of the ball. And we saw last year, they gave us all kinds of problems. We're going to have to, you know, the 2013 team barely won there. We're going to have to go in there and play our A game to win.
So. I think if there's a team that could surprisingly bomb, it's LSU. But I think if there's a team that could surprisingly do really well and surprise people big time with an upside, it's A&M.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably right. Somebody else, I was following up on the discussion you were having with James Coker about expansion, and they wanted Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But you disagreed with that.
I'd rather have the Oklahoma Tire Engineering School and School for the Blind than I would Oklahoma. Again, send me your hate mail. Send me your tweets. I don't care. I understand you want the hardest teams. You want the biggest teams. I get that. But honestly, there comes a point where we're only hurting our own chances to succeed. And like you said, making it longer and longer, I have to wait to see my team come up here. I'm being selfish. I don't care. That's just how it is.
Well, the other thing, again, we're both opposed to expansion on principle. I mean, we didn't love expanding Missouri, Texas A&M. We certainly don't need any more.
Yeah, I'm happy with Missouri and A&M. I wish that they could have, like, send me your hate mail, people. I wish we could have gotten rid of Ole Miss and Kentucky when we brought in Texas A&M and Missouri. Because I'd rather have A&M and Missouri than some other teams that are already in the league, but I would have liked to stay with 12.
That's fair. All right, that's it for tonight on the list of questions.
Okay.
Factoid of the week.
Well, you know, it is well documented that Alabama had the best recruiting class in the SEC again last year. They had more five-star recruits than anybody else in the conference. Yeah, we know. And Auburn was down around fifth. But here's something very interesting I discovered when I just happened to see those ranking, those ratings, the recruiting ratings from last year. And I was looking at that, and I saw Alabama number one, and they had like six, you know, five-star guys and whatever. But here's something I thought was really interesting, and it shows that I just do not understand how these ratings work, apparently, because this doesn't make any sense to me at all. when you add 4- and 5-star recruits together, and honestly, I don't think there's that much difference between a 4-star recruit and a 5-star recruit, right? A 5-star recruit is just as likely to crap out and drop out of school or transfer as a 4-star is. And a 4-star is just as likely to get their act together and play better than a 5-star, right? So when you add 4- and 5-star recruits together last year, Auburn and Alabama had exactly the same total, 20. And nobody else was within 4 of that number. Hmm. Now, how are we 4th or 5th with 20 4- and 5-star recruits? And it wasn't like we had 24 stars and 0 5s. It's just Alabama had more, yeah. But they had fewer 4 stars than we did. And then the rest of it kind of was a wash. So I don't really understand how you come up with that number, but 20, we both had, Auburn and Alabama both had the same. And I think that's really important because who are the two teams that are currently kind of favored to win the SEC, right? Auburn and Alabama. Mm-hmm. What two teams had the best recruiting classes last year if you go by 4- and 5-star recruits? Auburn and Alabama. So it isn't changing in the near future if that holds true. That's going to be the status quo for a while.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. All right. Anything else around the SEC we want to talk about?
No, I mean, it's the usual offseason, you know, players getting in trouble and doing dumb things, and you just hope Auburn players are, you know, don't get caught doing that kind of stuff. So you see some of these other schools, and you're like, what are you doing? But no, it's interesting. It's convincing to see some of these other schools. I think the other thing, you know, that everybody needs to remember is a lot of these other schools all the way around the SEC – you know, don't have returning quarterbacks that they can count on. And even though Jeremy Johnson's new, we have a lot of faith in him. But you look at some of the other schools, they're going to have big quarterback battles to come. I mean, we just talked about LSU. They don't know who their quarterback is. Bama knew who their quarterback is. Ole Miss doesn't know who their quarterback is. Georgia, you know, kind of knows. So, you know, but not everybody, you know, has a quality returning starter. So, when you talk about returning quarterbacks that Auburn is going to play, it's probably the A&M guy and then the guy at Kentucky, honestly, in terms of SEC teams that with the returning guys that have talent. So, well, I'm sorry, Dak Prescott, obviously, but he lost everybody around him. So, but I think that's the other thing to watch as we head into the fall is all these other quarterback competitions and who ends up in those teams and how good those guys play once they get on the road in a hostile environment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't want to say go too far into it and say too much cause we got the preview coming up and all, but, I look at the SEC East and I look at the teams over there and, it's just such a wash. I mean, does anything – we talked about the schedule being maybe the most determining factor over there, but do you see any other factor that's going to cause one of those teams in the East to kind of stand up and be to some degree head and shoulders above the others? Or is it – I mean, it really is just kind of a muddle, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think it's like it has been the last couple of years. I think Georgia has the most talent, but I think they're – like you said, their schedule creates the most problem for them. They have a tough non-conference game with Tech, and then they have the two toughest West teams, while Missouri, for example, has the two easy teams, the easier teams in the East. So, the other team that people talk about in the East is Tennessee, and they're a young team that's kind of on the rise, but they play Alabama and Arkansas, and they're still maybe a year away from being really there. So,
you know, it's funny, Georgia's this last year too is kind of like how we were with Arkansas back in the 2000s under Tuberville, which was that there were, you know, if you go back and look at every year Arkansas went to the SEC championship game, every year that Arkansas went, we probably had a better team than them. And, you know, it just ended up that we had to play Georgia and we had to play Florida usually, and they didn't play either one of them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, and that makes a big difference.
It's truth.
All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this week. Don't forget, folks, to check out Decades of Dominance and Season of Our Dreams. And I'm going to have a few copies of at least Decades of Dominance, maybe a copy or two of Season of Our Dreams in Birmingham. So if you want to come down, if you've already got a copy and you want to get me to sign it, I'd be thrilled and delighted to do that and chat with you a little bit about Auburn football if we can get away with it at that Sci-Fi and Fantasy Festival in Hoover. But otherwise, it's on Kindle. They're both on Kindle. They're in paperback. So check those out. People continue to pick them up every month. It's really cool. I'm hoping everybody's liking them. And by the way, I appreciate everybody that's gone out and left reviews for us now on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and look up AU Wishbone, you'll see like 10 or 12 people have left five-star reviews for the show. Everybody's left a five-star review. I really appreciate that. I know John does.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And likewise, if you've read Decades of Dominance and Season of Our Dreams and you liked it, we would really appreciate if you go and just give a star ranking at least, maybe just like a sentence or two review on Amazon, because as many copies as those books have sold, there's only four reviews and ratings of Season of Our Dreams and something like 10 of Decades of Dominance. That needs to be a lot higher. We really need the Auburn family out there to go to Amazon, go to Decades of Dominance, and leave a review and pump that sucker up so that people will see it and know it's there. Because the more reviews it gets, the more stars it gets, the more visible that kind of thing is on Amazon. Other people will find out about it. Because I know that most of the Auburn folks don't even know it exists, so we want them to find out about it. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. That's something you can do for the show and for our coverage of the Tigers. So anything else, John?
No, I think that'll do it. I'm looking forward to match game.
Oh, yeah, it's not long. It's not long at all until we roll out our celebrities, roll out our contestants. I can't wait. That's going to be so much fun. So, all right. Well, our time is up, and as always, we thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.